Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Old. I don't know where that got thrown in.
Yeah, he's correct.
Yeah. We're out of here.
You used to be young, not anymore.
That's right, Airheads. It's true. Your eyes do not deceive you. Dave and Gareth, or Gary, as it were.
Nope.
I know you prefer that. I know you love
no,
Gary.
No, no, no. That's
yeah,
like not
Gary's
a good intro.
Your preference, right?
No, it isn't. No.
I thought that.
No,
that
no,
was
no.
The
I've
thing.
Been like so clear so many times that Gareth is the preferred one.
I would never. Yeah, that's unprofessional. I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
You did start it. You're the worst part of all of it. But no, to be clear, yeah, no, that's not preferred.
Okay, gotcha. So, yeah. Dave, Gareth of the world famous.
I don't know why you kind of air quoted my.
I didn't mean
name.
It was meant to be like
a
there he is.
Okay.
There he is.
Okay. It seemed half quoted. Okay.
Of the world famous The Dial-Up Podcaster here on Putting On Airs, and we are thrilled. Also, if you're part of the extended Skewniverse, you may be a little confused because this is where we do Well Read, but this is also where they do the dial-up, and
correct.
I'm here, and
it's
so
a true
we're
crossover.
All making it work. Corey's that's still there in North Georgia in the virtual Airstream studios. How you doing, Cho?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm happy to be here with you all. I hate being the Power Rangers big head guy in the room when everybody's in the room together feeling all chemistry-fied.
You should be used to it by now. Was
yeah.
That Zordon?
I am, but I still hate it.
Is that his name?
I think so.
Zordon?
Yeah. What a pull.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, that's Zordon.
A big, big
I was gonna
Power
say
Rangers
Zoloft.
Guy when I was a kid.
Zoloft would be a great one.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to care about taking over anything anymore.
He just kind of
guy.
Floats in yeah. his
either
chamber.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So on this show, two hillbilly dipshits, namely me and Corey. I don't know who else you would have thought it would be. We talk about fancy shit, fancy mm-hmm. people stuff, mm-hmm. and oftentimes try to sort of like draw a Venn diagram or the overlap between like fancy and trash, you know, sure. as much as we can. So I thought we'd start there if possible, because Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, you're from Marin, right?
Oh, yeah.
County, right?
Yeah.
Right. But you did not grow up in a privileged situation.
No.
Right? So you're right there already. You're like in the wheelhouse of what this show is just by virtue of, because Marin is one of the most affluent
yes.
areas of this whole country. But you were not part of that lifestyle and you're from there.
I was the kid who rode his 10 speed
servant.
That only eight, that only eight gears worked and servant. But I was the guy who rode his 10 speed and kids I went to school with would drive by in their Porsches.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That what was that? Were you like, a mascot at home, like Linus or whatever from Charlie right. Brown? Yeah. The dirt kid, the
with
dirt bag kid.
Yeah, pretty much.
That
pretty much describes it very well.
Yeah, okay.
Like we had a house and I had a friend stay over once and I was like, oh, I don't want him to stay over. And he like kind of pushed for it, and then in the morning he's like, "Why can I see my breath?" I'm like, "Cause we can't afford heat."
Yeah,
it was like stuff like that.
I've always there's so many places. I mean, hell, sometimes in Burbank I look around and I'm like, "How do regular people live here?" Because of
yeah.
you know how expensive it
it's
is
insane.
To exist in so many places. So like you know, in a place like that, like I mean. Were your people like from there, and it became that around them? Or
yeah,
like?
Yeah. It wasn't that wealthy until yeah. like the late '70s, early '80s. So everyone who was like grandfathered in was fine.
Right.
But then after that, everyone was screwed and they just moved. Like, I don't know. I know like one person who still lives there from my high school, lives in Marin, and he's like a VP at Wells Fargo. So he remained poor. He's still poor, yeah.
And Gareth, you are like sort of British, and that's fancy.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's pretty.
For you,
but people think like England, like, or at least they used to think like England was like everyone was fancy.
Yes.
And then when you like see my family, you're like, oh no,
right.
Not at all.
I would like to just say I never thought everybody was fancy from England.
I think most people do because they like at least. I guess when you were raised by cartoons, you're like, oh yeah, they're either butlers or they're princes, and so people. I think the accent throws it off a lot,
but sure.
I've also heard the accent before say like, "Do you want to smoke crack?" I've heard that, and I was like, "Whoa, what?"
I had a bit about that because, you know, we talk dumb, our accents are dumb, and
right.
I was talking about like the English accent and how everybody thinks it's automatically smart because we just all picture like Professor Oxford in a fucking tweed vest and a pipe or whatever when we think of that accent in this country. But like you could just as easily picture like a shirtless hooligan in the middle of the street, hammered drunk, just like, oh, bash your fucking head in,
man. The hooligan helps.
Right,
the hooligan class helps.
Yeah.
But they're definitely, like, I was definitely always astounded by like how trashy. Where my family's from, honestly, is like.
What part of where are they from? Over
they're
there?
From a small town called Stourbridge, and like I love it. I'm like, oh, it's the best. But then when other people in England are, ooh, that's bad, mate. That's
yeah, right.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's great. And they're like, oh gosh, that's tough, ain't it?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's lovely. But yeah, totally.
I feel the exact same way being from Marjorie Taylor Greene's district because they like people. As soon as they hear that, they're like, how the fuck do you live there? I was like, near the people I love. What do you mean?
Yeah, you have a bubble. Yeah, that I forgot that you're from her district.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, buddy.
His hometown is wild by, like, my standards. And
yeah, right.
We were talking about my hometown before we started.
Yeah.
You guys heard what I said about my hometown.
About Kittenbridge.
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly.
That's the town over from where Gareth was from.
Yeah, Kittenbridge. Kittenbridge.
Fancy a bit of crack before you toss your kittens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's by virtue of just being very, very like a Confederate-y still.
Yeah.
Because it's like a Civil War town.
Yeah, right.
Oh, great.
Bloodiest 2-day battle of the Civil War, right, Corey? Famously. Yeah.
That's correct, my friend.
How many died?
Most of them.
Oh.
He's from there. They have reenactments and stuff there every year, and it's still it's like a Civil War town because that's like the noteworthy thing about it.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's all about selling merch.
And that has an effect on a place.
Yeah, sure.
It's like when you're a comedian.
Yeah, and everyone who got a traffic ticket that year has to fight for the union. That's how we do that.
That's smart.
No one else would do it otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like when you're a comedian and like you overbought on your shirts. And so you have to keep doing a bit you no longer want to do, but you're like, I gotta move as many snow globes as possible.
Right.
So yeah, we're a Civil War town. That's what we are.
Have you ever done it? Have you ever done the when anybody any uncle ever take you out?
Have I participated in the reenactment?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I have been to them, or I've been to the pancake breakfast that they have every year to kick off the Civil War reenactment. As
I think
you
that's
know,
probably
is authentic
why they
to the
died
time.
A lot that day. If they're starting their day off
Sluggish.
With pancakes,
pancake
yeah, you're just not. It's not the go no. get a meal you want.
No. Need some like egg
that's
white.
I have a bit about that, which is me showing up at the pancake breakfast, going, "Hey guys, do you ever think maybe this is why we lost the fucking war? Have you ever tried to do? Have you ever tried to eat pancakes and do anything?"
Yes.
All right, one more nap, and then we move up the hill.
Yeah.
But I got to say, a pancake breakfast is always a go-to. If someone says there's a pancake breakfast, I always go.
Even if it's like
it moves
surrounded
tickets.
By modern-day Confederates or whatever.
I'll eat pancakes.
Sure. Syrup. Yeah. Syrup.
Well, a lot of like, Corey, we've also talked a lot about how, like, a lot of times racists make the best, like, sweets from the South. Like, you think about, like, mammals and stuff. Like, they got...
like the best cinnamon buns,
cornbread.
Something about ignorant hate and grease when you put them in a pan together is just mwah.
They say making it with love, but that's overrated. Yeah. When they mix in the hate, that's the same.
Like that's a lot of southern emeralds. That's to kick it up a notch. Wow! Now that is good.
Yeah,
better than a Mexican. All right, Mima. All right, now let's just give her the light. That's enough.
That is exactly how it goes. What's Brown Deer like? You were born in a place called Brown Deer, in the Midwest. Because I also think the Midwest is like
it's
different from the South, but there's a lot of overlap with them too. That people don't realize
a lot of overlap.
Country shit, honestly, rural shit.
Oh, totally. There's like same. I mean, I guess in the South there's maybe a little bit more of it, but you still are like you still meet people where you're like, so you live in a junkyard? And
right.
People are like, that's right. Yeah. You're like, okay, that seems like weird. But Brown Deer was like, you know, a suburb in Milwaukee. There were nice suburbs around it, but it was where it was where you'd be like, there's a couple cars on the lawn and that's okay.
Right.
You know, a couple fixer uppers.
Right.
Our family was, it was a real weird, like talking about that Venn diagram, it was like, so I was raised in the bubble of two English people who were English and, you know, very like, tried to keep their Englishness, and then I would be going to school in Wisconsin, and like totally, I started growing a mullet, and my mother, and I started like shaving Z's in the side of my head, and my mother was like losing me, and my little British accent became like more of a like, hey, chill out, you know, and she was like, dude, you tell me to chill, I'd be like, relax, lady,
right.
And she was just like, ah! and so they started to kind of lose me in that, but Brown Deer itself was, it was like, I remember the first place I used to buy cigarettes was the Brown Deer bowling alley because you could just do it with quarters. And that was like a scene, and just, you'd see some cats there where you'd be like, oh, well, you know, they'd be like, Dr. Reggie, he knows what he's doing, you know, and just guys are just pounding MGDs in the bottle all day. And
go Packers.
Yeah, oh my God, the Packers stuff actually. Yeah. I don't think helped anything because it was just everybody was just like, oh yeah, it didn't help. No, it didn't help class up the joint.
I can't believe that. Didn't take it up a notch?
Yeah, no. So it was definitely like there are nice places in Wisconsin and it wasn't like too rough, but it was definitely like the more you got down my street, the more you were like, oh, okay, what's going on over here? It seems a little sketchy.
You got any other funny named places in Wisconsin that you're aware of? Brown Deer makes me think of, there's a place in Tennessee called Buck Snort, which has always been one
of
my favorites. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Buck Snort, Tennessee. It's like my go. If I'm making like a joke about some random redneck town, I say Buck Snort, which is a real place, though.
And yeah, there's a, you know, it's one of those places, too, where it's like so, they've kept so many of like the Indian names.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah.
Where you're almost like the older you get, the more you're like, wait, who are the Menominee Falls? Why is it a bunch of car dealerships? They're like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We got a bright history. We're trying, you know, Trail of Tears sale. And you're like, oh, Jesus Christ. No. So it's like a lot of that. Brown Deer, I mean, Oak Creek.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like ones like that, but Brown Deer was special. I do actually remember like someone one time trying to tell me like how the town got its name, like in an interesting way.
It was like,
and it was just like,
there was a brown deer.
There's a lot of brown deer.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, here's the quiz. There's tons of them. Yeah, and you're like, okay. And they're like, that's pretty much it.
Right,
you're like, oh, okay.
What should we name it?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
There was, you ever been to Short Pump, Virginia?
No.
They got a funny bone there.
Then I definitely have been.
It's the Richmond funny bone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually in Short Pump. Right. Well, you know, the funny bones are all like that.
The improvs, too. Improvs like the Milwaukee. Improv.
The best clubs. For funny bone.
So anyway, when I was there, I got curious.
I wish I knew it was called that.
Why did they? I was like, why do they call it Short Pump? And so I looked it up, and it was a similar thing. Like, you look it up expecting some kind of like, I don't know, you know, interesting minutia about Atlanta and this or whatnot, but it's just like, in that area, there was a building, and by this building, there was a pump, and the pump, it was short, and so they called it Short Pump, Virginia.
This was a better time.
And I know, right? That's just what they did. Just pointed at stuff, and like, this is where we are.
This is how every
dirt hole.
So every surf location is named.
Yeah.
Every single surf location is like, Big rocks. Yeah, there's right. one called shit pipe because there's a pipe that the shit comes out of. It. Jesus like it, they're just all named after the thing that's that right are. There. The yeah, two right. trees.
Senator
they're
from all... shit pipe yields his time back. yeah. No, there was definitely a lot of this delay.
Took him a minute. Took him a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, but there was a lot of that, and I think you're right. Like I think like you know. Like, I remember I dated a girl from Texas, and I remember meeting a guy once who, like, lived in, like, a toiletless shanty, and he was, like, cooking chicken thighs in a coffee can of embers.
Yes.
And I was like, right. that I haven't seen. But everything else, like, sure. the accents are really the difference. You get, like, I know you're not supposed Dude. To, the trashy white people are all over. You go to, like, any, like... Summerfest or like right. any of these fest or state fair in Wisconsin and you're like, whoa, that is bold.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like...
Ma'am, your labia. Like she's like, let's get another chicken thigh.
Yeah. You see videos of like Russia and people like, look at these crazy people. Oh, and you're right. like, have you driven around America?
Oh, yeah. No, dude. No, I like... You mentioned the dude in the toiletless shanty or whatever. I had a neighbor... I grew up in a house like... basically in the town that I'm from, but the town I'm from is so small that we had a next door neighbor who lived in a shack with a dirt floor, right? And he used to like come borrow water. He'd come fill up like this old dirty ass milk gallon jug uh-huh. with water from our pipe, and him and my dad became friends that way. So uh-huh. like when my dad would be gone, he'd watch the house, and by watch the house, but he would like threaten someone at gunpoint if they tried to
it's a pizza
leave a pamphlet or something yeah. on our you know on our front porch yeah. he'd just turn around and Charles just stand there holding a fucking you know
Charles is too classy a name for that guy. Yeah, Chuck
we yeah. we mostly called him Chuck yeah, yeah, Chuck, yeah Charles yeah and he'd bring little like sometimes my dad would open the door and there'd be like one you know, Winston cigarette or something, Ooh. Just like sitting outside, yeah. or like a can of potted meat or something.
He was just like an offering.
An offering. He was like a white trash fairy.
Right
or
back
something
at
like
you.
That.
Yeah. Santa Claus. Yeah, right.
Like what you left for Southern Santa?
The trailer fay yeah, or something. Right, right. You know?
One yeah. Winston in a soft pack.
Yeah, right.
he's a good guy, that yeah. guy. But yeah. to him, he's like $1,000.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So
this is how
you.
Much you mean to me.
You
yeah,
mean
right,
a lot.
Exactly.
One Kent.
Yeah. So. Dave, what did you like? Where are you at on rich people over the course of your life?
Like, Dave's a huge monarchist. That's why I wanted to be on the show.
Right. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm all about the queen. I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, it's never left me, you know, like, right. Or just seeing how they behaved and treated others. And like, it's never left me. It's just part of my fiber, you know, so I just don't, not a big fan of the rich.
See, I didn't know because they also don't hit for me, but I'm from a place where, like, no one is rich. Like, I've said before, like, literally, like, the kids who had money in my high school, what that meant was, like, their parents were still married and both had a job. Like, yeah. that meant
it was
you
a
had,
better
it was
economy.
Like that poverty stricken or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
But I wondered if, like, in your situation, if, like, you know, you had friends or whatever
well,
who were
okay.
rich kids, and so you're like, some of them are all right.
I mean,
versus, no, I lived with them and I hate them even more. You know?
I mean, some like, are. I wasn't. I was never friends with the kids who were in the Mercedes and the, like my,
right.
my group I hung out with was, you know, more middle range. So I didn't. I tried to avoid them. I did think I was friends with one for a while, but he just turned out to be a total dick. Like the
right.
end, they just end up being dicks.
Right.
It is really interesting because I went to school with a lot of rich kids, and when I was like a real little kid, and you don't know your friends. Like in Milwaukee, I was friends with an E-line, which in Milwaukee is like total royalty. And so I'd be going to like
wow.
this mansion.
Yeah, yeah,
house.
E-line.
E-line.
Oh, you
yeah.
don't know that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, Eli's a big. That's
huge.
A name.
That's a name. Right?
That's a name.
So that's a last name.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
The Eli's.
It's like now that I'm saying it, I'm like
that's
definitely
not that
some Eli Nazis.
right.
But I would like they lived in a mansion, and so I'd be over there, and it wasn't until I was like 10 or 11 I was like, oh, they were really rich. But then when I would like hang out with them. The kids. I remember the kids being like, well, when I grow up, I'm just going to run my dad's company.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I would just right. be like, it would bend my mind to be like, well, what is your life? Your life is. And they do. Now they do.
Right. Right. I knew those. Well, there was one kid that was cool that I knew, but he was in a different grade. But he was the construction kid. So every time he saw construction on the road, their family's name
yeah.
was on it. And then he just moved up and took over. And that's what he did. And he's just, you know, a millionaire.
Yeah.
Right. Well, whatever. We ain't got to get into all the like socio-political parts of it, but it's like that's so much how it so often goes with them, and then they think that like,
oh yeah,
they think that people who don't have that right think they had a triple that whole thing. Yeah. That's what's always driven me so crazy about them. Yeah. But like
the guy I know, the richest person I know, who I'm friends with, is Drew Carey.
Yeah,
but Drew Carey didn't come from that. Right. Drew Carey came from nothing. So you know, you hear stories of him like when the writers
Yep.
Because he's still that guy.
He's such a good guy.
Yeah, he did most the Bob's.
He did Bob's and
he bought
Jerry's
all
Deli.
These meals.
He
for
spent like $500,000 at Bob Big Boy alone.
Yeah, shout out Drew Carey.
Swingers and Bob's Big Boy. If you were a writer, you could go and get lunch.
He also he was doing this pre-strike. Every day is like he just gives out stuff to regular people, prizes.
Always has.
You know, he makes them play a little game to do it.
That is cool that he put all that together.
He just
like very charitable thing.
He's just so he's generous.
He has this wheel in his house.
He has a magic wheel. Right. I didn't know you knew that. Yeah, he has a magic wheel.
Devised all these intricate games.
It's crazy and things.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
put a lot of effort into that sort of charity work.
And I've always been just kind of like, wow.
Wild by
he's a real one.
Yeah,
he is a real one that way.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
The monarchy, though.
Love it.
Cute, yeah. Big.
Such a fan. Yeah, what's not to love? I mean, you just the idea of people just fucking within their family for centuries and then acting like they're better than everybody else.
Tell me about it.
Fantastic.
That was one of the earliest episodes of the Venn diagram. Fancy people and trash was on cousin fucking.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Because, you know, that's like, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Trailers, palaces.
Yep,
that's where
same.
You find most of the cousin fucking going on.
But what I mean, someone told me, I can't remember who it was, but someone told me a story about got to a point where they had inbred so much that they had like a Spanish king that was just like,
Habsburg
jaw guy.
Yes,
Habsburg.
Yes.
The Charles.
It's
guy who they cut him open and they were like,
egads. Yes.
What's going on? Yeah, it was like, instead of a heart, it was a mouse. They were like, this man lived?
Yeah.
The fuck? They just cut him open and like water
comes out.
Just like a geyser.
Yeah.
This man was 95% water. Water.
It makes like whistling noises and stuff.
Yeah. The guy, and then it's like when his wife died, he was like at her grave for like 9 days. They were like, Jesus Christ. Mother of God. They're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, he's like Charles the something. Or
I think
something
it
like
is
that.
Charles.
It was
yeah.
a Spanish, like yep. Charles II of Spain or something like that.
And he ended up like losing because of his inability to breed. They ended up losing like Italy or something like the level of his inbredness ended up costing them a tremendous amount.
Yeah, turns out they were just super wrong about that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, they were like, it's nuts for raisinettes. And they're like, whoopsies.
The policy of inbreeding, yeah. Because they thought, you know, like they had the special blood, so they can't share their blood with anybody else. But it turns out, you know, if
eventually
you got any kind of shit in your blood, it's just going to stay there forever.
Yeah. He was like dysentery the man.
Yeah, right.
Listen, guys, cold turkey may be great on sandwiches, but there's a better way to break your bad habits. We're not talking about some weird mind voodoo from your crazy neighbor, tracking when Mercury's in retrograde or whatever the moon's up to, or lighting your candles or putting your crystals out or any of that type of stuff. We're talking about our sponsor, Fume, and they look at the problem in a different way. Not everything in a bad habit is wrong, so instead of a drastic, uncomfortable change, why not just remove the bad from your habit? Fume is an innovative, award-nominated device that does just that. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses all-natural, delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for de-stressing and anxiety while breaking said habits. So, tell them your experience with it.
Well, I concur. Fume, good. Fume allows me to live my life in a way that I describe as oxygen plus, right? We all have oxygen. Everybody's got the same oxygen, but I like my life to be heightened. And with Fume, I get oxygen plus. It's oxygen that tastes good, right? It's sweet. You put it to your lips. It's a nice little weighted thingy that makes my oxygen hit harder. It's a portable oxygen hitter harder thing. It's beautiful, feels great, and it tastes like fresh. Like, I got one that's orange, and it's like orange breath. Who don't love orange breath? Stopping is something we all put off because it's hard, but switching to Fume is easy, enjoyable, and even fun. Fume has served over 100,000 customers and has thousands of success stories, and there's no reason that can't be you. Join Fume in accelerating humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up the Journey Pack today. Head to tryfume.com and use code POA to save 10% off when you get the Journey Pack today. That's tryfume.com and use code POA to save an additional 10% off your order today. tryfume.com/POA, code POA. Fume good.
What were you gonna say, Corey?
Yeah, Corey, what are you doing over there?
Oh, I just wanted to know if you'd ever actually seen his face. He looks like a poodle that'd been kicked in
completely.
Oh my god,
he looks like a young Mr. Burns. He really is. It is tremendous how crazy he looked. Like, the fact that they were just like, oh yeah, let's, he should be in power. Like, his head really was like 60% water. There was so much water in him.
Yeah.
That they were just like, ooh, it was like a human pimple.
It's bad when you're coming out of the vagina and your beak scrapes it.
Oh, yeah. 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 He was beaked.
But also, like, they just had to be looking at him, like, from the jump, being like, I don't know if
it wasn't like he was just like, here's what we should do. You know, he was like, dirt is a meal.
Right.
You're
right,
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Probably moving in another direction.
It's like, I don't know about the divine right of this guy.
Yeah, but they were, it's very much how, like, what you see in our politics now, where, like, people are like, just get him across the finish line. Like, you know, where people are like, Joe Biden's going to die. Like, just get the body to the White House one last. Like, that's what they were doing with him. They're like, he doesn't need to be the best. We just need some cum to come out of him, and then we'll be okay.
Yeah, but then, bad news.
No, bad news. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, no come for you.
No.
Archbishop or whoever was
reverse
doing
Oprah.
That.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So how do you get, you're the curator of all the stories, right? The history stories.
I'm the curator.
That's actually something I wanted to ask about.
Because he does.
Not you. You don't get
Gareth.
I like that he's shutting you down because I feel like it's coming in a bad direction for me from you.
Yes, please, Corey.
It was. I want to know how any of us land a job like Gareth where he doesn't have to do a goddamn thing except for sit there and be charming.
I mean, well, I'm kind of that on this show. I'm not saying I'm
no, you bring stuff to the table.
I certainly don't like the follow up from Corey.
Yeah.
It was Dave's idea. Dave had an idea for a show where he was going to bring stories to the table. he didn't think it was always going to be with me. So it probably would have lowered his frustration level if it had been a new guy, because he'd be like, hey, I asked this guy on my show. But instead, now it's our show. And yeah, every week, you know, I'll be like, can we do it like Saturday this week? And he's like, well, here's the thing about how this works. I'm putting in 20 to 30 hours on. I'm like, right, no, Sunday's good. Sunday's fine. Yeah. We can do Sunday. Yeah. I just want to watch the Packers. We can do Sunday. But yeah, I mean, I lucked into it.
I picked him based on his looks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see
like
that.
And like you did, you picked Corey based on like a, it's like a
head size.
Orangey moon.
Yeah. Yeah. An orangey moon. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
His head is so perfectly round.
Let's be
round,
clear. Dave does drawn into insanely it. More research and work for his show than I do on this one.
I mean, how do you like, you know, how do you find these things in the first
place? I mean, honestly, originally it was really searching and looking, but now I have so many stories, and in those stories you just find other people. Like,
yeah,
you, I'm always reading a story, I'm like, well, who's this guy? And then I follow that guy, and I'm like, ah, oh, he's another one. That's how I find most of them now. But it used to be just searching everywhere and people sending me ideas, but now I have a list of like 500.
It's like, I was talking to my buddy about it, and it's like, the problem is that it is such a, like, Dave's ability to find the weird shit is right. A skill set
for
in
sure.
Its own right.
Anything like that, like even like certain TV shows where they find these people in the middle of nowhere, or whatever, and like, or places, I'm always like, how does anybody find anything, including like, you know, interesting stories that are obscure and whatnot? Like, it's definitely a skill set.
Yeah. Like, even when I do some, like, rarely I'll do an episode and I'm like, it takes me so fucking long to be like, oh, that'll be a good one.
Right.
Like, it's like 2 a year. You know what I mean? Like, because yeah. I'm like, that's perfect. Yeah. There's every week, Dave's like, got one somehow. So, and the live ones. Some of the live ones are just fucking like.
Yeah, I try to save the better ones for live shows.
They're bonkers.
Right.
Like, I'll be.
Yeah, for those of you just listening that may not know, like, go check out The Dollop, and I do recommend their live shows that they put on their feed are fucking fantastic.
Well, and I just always am like, we're sitting backstage, like, eating pizza, and he's not, like, in his head, he's like, I'm going to fucking tell this guy about, like. The story of Houdini mysticism, when like this woman used to have a fake hand coming out of her vagina to get men over there to think she could communicate with the dead.
That happened. Sure.
And then after the show, I'll be like, bro, we were like talking about like right. family.
Right. Yeah.
Weren't you sitting there just like, man, this guy's going to lose his fucking head tonight.
And yeah. He's got all those in his head all the time.
Yeah. I know. He's like the Hatsburg head, except
yeah,
his
right.
stories.
I do. There's one I'm thinking of right now that's going to be amazing that I'm going to do. Amazing.
Yeah.
He'll
yeah.
do that to me sometimes.
That's exciting. Yeah, I'll have to look out for that.
Or it'll be like, oh man, I got one that's going to make you so sad. And I'll be like,
oh yeah. I did. We did an England one that I was just like, this might kill him.
Yes.
You ever get into any rich people shit? Rich people behaving badly
I
or
mean,
lunacy?
All the fucking time.
Right? Oh, yeah. He brings his little politics into it all.
Yeah. The rich people.
They earned
are,
it, motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, the more
let
you do
them live.
The more you do history, you're just like, oh, the capitalists, the big capitalist guys are fucking psychopaths. Like, on a
you're
level
right.
you can't even comprehend. They're just really, they don't care about human beings at all.
Right.
Not even slightly.
So, one thing we kind of, I'm not going to say landed on because I don't know. It's just something that it seemed to present itself at some point. And tell me if you agree with this or not. I feel like the quality of rich people has steadily deteriorated mm-hmm. over time, meaning like they used to, yeah. I know that like the fucking nobles had prima nocta or whatever, like all this like
which
crazy
we should
ass
bring
shit.
Back.
Right. Right. But like,
yeah.
man,
yeah.
but they used to like, they used to think that they had some sort of like responsibility to,
yeah.
to like be worthy of their name and
point.
That type
yeah.
of shit. Like they, you know, they'd like, you know, they'd throw a bunch of peasants with pitchforks in front of them, but they'd like go to war on their horse and that type of shit. You
yeah.
know, like they felt a responsibility to do that kind of thing just because of who they were. Like mm-hmm. they were born into this, but there's like other, you know, there's other, you have to be worthy of it. And now I just don't feel like that's rich people do any of that at all.
And
I don't think.
And we're kind of the same as we were in the Gilded Age after the, you know, after the Civil War when everyone, there's just too many rich people. They're too rich. There's
right.
too many and they're too rich. The more rich, they've done tons of studies on this. The more rich you get, the more you have less empathy for poor people. So the richer you are, the less you care about people. There's just a shitload of studies that
so worth
show
it.
That. Yeah, but so now it's like it used to be a few guys were rich, But now it's just like this whole class of just like all the board members and the CEOs, and they never made as much money before. But now they used to be like you'd make seven times the highest employee or whatever.
Right.
And now they're like, you know, 80, and that's like normal. And it's like, yeah, that's not going to
work. Well, that's why, too, when they're like, the corporate tax rate should be at least 27%. And you're like, it was like 90.
Yeah, 90.
Yeah, the rich people should be paying like 90%. That's how this all worked.
Right.
But before. they definitely seem to have gotten worse. And like, to your point, like, it almost was like, it's like how, when I was a kid, it was like, there was shame with being rich to some extent. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like if you were raised rich, it kind of like there was some kind of shame. It was like you were less of a real person. And so you did kind of compensate in ways. And now nobody gives a fuck. And the level of rich is so ridiculous. And it was like, you correct me if I'm wrong or anyone, but it was like FDR did not act because he was like a sweetheart. He was like, yeah, it'll all end if we don't do some kind of reset.
He was saving capitalism.
Yeah, he was like the system that we stay rich in is going to, they're going to fucking kill us.
Yeah, they're
going
to kill us.
Yeah, there's this dude, his name's Nick Hanauer. He's a billionaire. He's like a tech billionaire, but his whole thing has been trying to tell his billionaire buddies, like, hey, they're going to kill us all at some point.
Yeah, he's right.
We are.
Like, eventually, they will eat us. It's not just a pithy slogan or whatever. Yeah. Right. Yeah, like it will happen if we keep doing
this. And it's like the dam will break, and then it's fucking
on. Once the dam breaks, then it's all over.
You'll be going to, like, little huts and just be like, looking like for, like, Schumer cuts or, like, McConnell you know, bones.
But like you said, there was some shame to it. It's weird. In some cases, I mean, obviously they're mostly totally shameless, but in some cases there's an element of shame to it today too, depending on what you do. Thinking of like in Hollywood specifically or in show business, like Nepo babies and shit, or people are like people that want to get into rapping or something. Like I saw Michael Irvin the other day, the Hall of Fame football player, talking about his son who is a rapper, right? And Michael Irvin's just going in on him on ESPN. It's like, you grew up in the richest suburb in Dallas, Texas. It's like, you're not hard.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? Or like some of them try to hide, you know, the wealth and privilege they had, depending on what they do, because they think it
There is still that in, you know, it's like the Kardashians are a good example of like, they do nothing, so it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're like trying to be an actor, you don't want to be associated with the fact that you didn't earn it. So it is still kind of there. And I think, like, if you're, like, a rapper, like, that has been... It's weird because rappers will lose you because, like Kanye is a good example. Like, Kanye, the first half of his career was so great because he was so fucking mad about how nobody gave a fuck about him.
Right.
And then it was like he started to get big, and then he was rapping about how hard it was to get where he was.
Right.
And then he was just rapping about endless money, and that's when you're... Like, stand-ups do that, too.
I was about to say, don't you think stand-ups do the same thing all the time?
Like, you'll watch Kevin... I love Kevin Hart, but you'll watch his special, and it'll just be like...
I was with Michael Jordan the other day on the golf course outside the White House or whatever.
Yeah, I was lost in my mansion. Right. I don't love this stuff.
We love Tom Segura, but if you look at his fans now, you go into his fan forums, and they're all just like, "What the fuck is going on, man? He's talking about a $10,000 Fabergé egg."
Wait, when you said a minute ago, all these studies that show the richer you get, the less empathy you have for poor people. I was like, "Don't bring Tom Segura into it." But then I pushed out and didn't say it. But since you brought him up,
Tom's from his family's extraordinarily rich. So he started there.
Yeah,
but you know, I think there was a point where he was just doing stand-up, and so you didn't hear. But once you get into podcasting and you start talking about life and people, then your fans are like, wait, what? Well, you don't like me?
Right. Well, there's a lot of stand-ups, too, who have done a good job of hiding the fact that they are from money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, see, that's another example of, like, there is sometimes an element of shame to it. Like,
if you're trying to relate through entertainment, and especially stand-up, because stand-up at its core is the ability to kind of, you know, either make yourself relatable or relate to.
With stand-up, it's like relatability, but with rappers, it's like whatever street cred or authenticity or something. Like, there's not, like, Ja Morant, I'm a Memphis Grizzlies fan. Ja Morant drives me insane because he's also like a suburban kid. But he tries to play gangster for no reason.
It's
cost us the future.
I know.
It's really crazy to watch that kind of stuff. I mean, I think with stand-up, like Tom's a good example. You could just go up and do stand-up and no one, like, you could just do your stand-up. You can hide that you're rich if you do that, but when you're talking on a podcast, I think it gets different, right? Then now you're talking about life and stuff, and then it's. I don't think people want to when you're a stand-up. I don't think people want to see. If you become successful, they don't want you to flaunt it. They still just want you to be the stand-up that you were. I mean, that's how it seems to me.
Yeah, and I think there are people who definitely do that successfully. I mean, like,
Gaffigan's a good example.
Yeah, or exactly. Even Chappelle.
He still lives in the fucking small, you know, place with all his kids in the four bedroom or whatever. I feel funny. Like that really works for him.
Yeah.
One of those bedrooms is a mansion, to be fair. it's a little legalese. But yeah, like, I think, like, even Chappelle, like, you know, obviously there's shit he does where I do not agree with it, but he still has an ability to make his life, if it is like the Michael Jordan shit, it still is funny. And a lot of times it's just, you know, it's shit about being a person or, like... I think there is a way to bridge that gap.
Well, Burr.
Yeah, Burr. Burr's a great example.
Yeah, right.
You know, great example.
It's maybe not necessarily about his life, but when it is, it's like, I'm sick of, she talks too much.
Yeah, right.
You know? Yeah. And you're just like, oh, yeah, the women talk too much, or whatever the fuck it is.
They totally do.
Yeah.
That's true. No matter what tax bracket you're in, they won't shut the fuck
up.
They talk so much.
They don't shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Another thing that's come up on here before, I want to ask you about Gareth with your British roots and everything. Like, in British.
Did people call you gay in the Midwest?
Once
we get into the Midwest, I start calling Gareth gay.
Right.
Yeah.
On tour immediately.
Yeah, that's where I'm.
We're in Missouri.
I mean,
gay.
I was a kid who skipped sports.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely like put on my mother's dresses publicly at times. So I was always
Oh no, we were also big hometown queers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I
was looked at as very strange. Yeah.
I liked books too much. And
that type of thing. To be fair, if the shoe fits.
Yeah, there's a little gay, right? Yeah.
See, that's where it's totally different for me because I grew up in a super gay area.
Right.
Outside of San
Francisco.
Get
out of here, straighty. You were like, I am gay. Stop it.
Yeah. Two of my neighbors were gay. Like, it was just like, you know, it's just like.
Are you okay, Dave? They keep calling me straight again. Don't worry. I'm not straight.
You'll be gay someday.
You'll figure it out. Yeah.
I'll show you.
I feel like in British comedy. Like, there's this weird, they still got a whole, they're so classist or whatever, like, inherently in Britain still, and you can see it in everything, meaning, like, I feel like in British comedy, they have, like, posh, upper crust, like almost pretentious type guys that's, like, a thing over there. Like upper crust intellectuals who are comedians or whatever, and I like them, you know, but over here is a... If you're going to be a comedian, you like got to be an everyman or relatable. Like, we don't really have the equivalent of that, I feel like.
No, I don't think we do.
Yeah, it definitely works over there more.
Right.
I mean, they do. They like... I mean, they have the royal family.
Right.
Like, if you try to poke holes in the royal family to... There are some people who have left it, but my mother and her generation...
Oh, man.
If you try to poke holes in it, they don't know why they love them. They just support them. They think there's value to them. And I do think that still works over there. It has forever. And for some reason, they we love our warden in this country, but there they fucking lick the boots.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
They really do. I don't know. It's certainly weird. I mean, they just, for some reason.
You do have some guys that come across as like upper crust, like Jimmy Carr.
Yeah.
And then you have guys that are the opposite, like Stuart Lee.
Right.
It very much comes across in like just how they carry themselves almost.
Yeah.
When you know, like Stephen Fry or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, he's like well-read and proper and all this type of thing. And he's
does Bill Maher count? He's probably ours.
I guess that's true.
That hurts.
Yeah, right.
It hurts so much. Yeah.
Man, it's just always so funny to me because like one of the meanest
it's like a triggering term for me.
Yeah.
Coming
I know,
up,
me
coming
too.
Up, one of the meanest stand-ups I ever worked with just a fucking dick from the beginning.
Yeah.
And he's true to himself.
Yeah, I guess it's true. Yeah, keeping it real.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think like with all the Russell Brand stuff that just went on over there, like that, I was there with the night that the Channel 4 documentary aired.
Oh,
and I watched
it
live. Yeah, and it was like unfortunately, it wasn't the best made documentary, but
I guess that's the big problem with it. It just wasn't a well made.
Yeah, well, right.
in the sense,
this is the production value left a lot to be desired.
In the sense that it like it was easy to poke holes in it because it wasn't like as incriminating as you would hope it would be if if you're like a rational person, you're like, oh yeah, he did this shit.
Yeah,
but right. They left room for people to be like, I mean, why aren't they putting their face on fucking camera? And you're like, yeah, well, right. Listen, it's actually pretty complicated.
Yeah,
right.
But
well, what do you think? He like pivoted hard to a demographic who like wouldn't care that he sexually assaulted people 100%. Or whatever.
That's the most incriminating thing in the whole thing is that all of a sudden when they're making this documentary, he's like, what about the right wing?
Yeah,
like, he just goes over there.
And honestly, it has worked.
Yeah, right.
You know, wish that it wouldn't have worked, but it's
a good play.
Yeah, if that was the play, I mean, that's pretty fucking smart.
Yeah.
You can't argue with the fact that the guy is smart, and if he pulled that off, that was like a glacial move that he did over like the last 2 or 3 years. Because he was like, oh, I'm going to get screwed.
They're going to find out at
some
point.
But the amount of comedians over there, like I said, I was there when it was breaking. The amount of comedians there who were like, oh, yeah, he's like the fucking worst.
Yeah.
He's been
everybody.
The worst. Women
like,
didn't
want
to be like in the, you know, green room with him and shit like that. But yeah, I don't know. The UK comedy scene is so strange in its own right. The way they digest comedy, what they like from comedy is just different. Here it is. You're right. It's like way more about like, relating. They're much happier to do the sort of like the Kevin Hart version where it's like, oh yeah, I was on vacation with, you know, Posh and Bex.
Right. Yeah.
And they're like into that. And you're like, what the fuck?
It seems to me like they also, another part of it is they like verbosity or like, you know, like having a lot like you know, sounding smart on purpose, right?
Sure.
Like as a comedian, because I feel like over here we have comics who are brilliant. People call them brilliant and they are brilliant. But they don't. They'll be like Bill Burr would be like, listen, nobody should listen to me. I'm a dumbass. I made D's in school. They always like, you know, make it clear like I'm an idiot. What do I know? And then people are like, he's a genius, right?
Yeah.
But like over there, they're just like, I'm smarter than you, right? And
here's
like, but in a way that again, I kind of like it. Like I watch it and sort of dig it. I just think it's like,
well, if you watch,
interesting because we don't do that.
Old Eddie Izzard, if you watched one of those three specials, like you were like, this guy's smarter than me
for sure.
Like you were just
absolutely.
And I enjoy the ride,
love it.
But it was never about making you feel dumb,
right? Yeah.
It was just like he, in order to convey the things he wanted to talk about, he would relate them to you, and that kind of was like the perfect, like in between of all of it. Ricky Gervais, I think, you know, like drinks beers on stage. People still feel like, but you know, he's a guy who hasn't been doing stand up that long. You know, he's rich as fuck. Like you know the deal. But like those Eddie Izzard ones were just like, holy fuck! Like this is next level.
Absolutely.
Comedy, and it's coming from a guy who is smart as fuck, but he's not necessarily shit. Like Russell Brand, when he would do stand up, which he wasn't very good at, his whole thing was trying to make you be like, wow, he's lost me a little bit. What a fucking genius. You know,
right.
Eddie Izzard was just like threading that needle in a new way.
That's how Stuart Lee is, too.
Yeah.
He's not dumbing it down, and it's fucking brilliant. Like, just next level genius.
Yeah,
but you're right. I don't think you don't see comics doing that. You see people putting it on, like Natasha Leggero doing like a character of like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like you don't see like
Larry the Cable Guy is a great example of like that guy was like making $100 million a year and he would still just be like, you ever shit your pants and it looked like your friend?
Yeah,
like,
right.
What the fuck?
Yeah, a lot of money in that, buddy. Loving Corey's delay.
I know, it's the best.
Here it comes.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, man, Corey didn't like.
Yeah,
oh,
you did.
Boom!
Yes, I can almost see you have that. You looked at him like, is it coming?
Oh, do
is
I
it
have
coming?
A sound delay as well?
A little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah,
Aaron.
By the way,
man, that's such a bummer.
No, it's actually great
fine.
Because what Trey said is so true.
Yeah.
I was in San Francisco like the first times that Larry the Cable Guy went up as Larry the Cable Guy. He was just another comic.
What a
Dave.
Move.
But he went up dressed as a guy in like a cable outfit. And then
he had
slowly
to show up
that
he probably had his hand on the door and was like, I'm going to go home. I, fuck it. I put it on. I'll try it.
What, like, was he all, he had been doing that, like, he didn't start that in San Francisco, right? Like,
no,
he'd been doing that, he just
I don't
came
know
to San
why
Francisco
he was there.
With
no,
it, 'cause that'd be
no,
a
no,
wild
no, he
choice.
Was, it was like showcases. Like, yeah, he wasn't yeah, right. doing, like, a gig. Right. He was around. He was around trying to do stand up, and I think that he kind of stumbled on that character. And so when he was working it out, he would do like showcases, and that's where I'd see it. Like it'd be like a
God,
Sunday
that's
night.
So good.
Yeah.
Feels weird that that happened in our lifetime. Yeah. That feels like a 1983 bit.
Yeah, and it's like I've heard people say I've heard people call it like a hillbilly blackface or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And
yeah. Right.
Like,
yeah.
And I know Corey feels the exact same way. Like I should. Probably have a problem with it, but he used to fucking kill me, dude.
Oh yeah, there was some shit that was funny.
Like when the Blue Collar Comedy Tour first came out and everything, I thought he was. I always bring the, my favorite Larry the Cable Guy joke was he had this. He said, "He's like, yeah, my horse, she broke her leg, so I had to take her out back and shoot her." I don't know why they tell you to do that. It didn't help at all. Like now she's got a broke leg and a bullet wound.
He had good jokes. I mean, there were good jokes in there. People just, you know. Everyone on the West Coast just hated him, but all those blue collar guys were huge for a reason.
Yeah,
they had timing, they had jokes.
I don't know, Bill Engvall. Anyway, I was at the Larry the Cable Guy roast, and one of the funniest things I've ever seen was Greg Giraldo not being able to process how he was so famous and rich.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really roasting him, other than he was just confounded.
Yeah, right.
Like
yeah.
He, at one point, like. 12 minutes into it, as he's slaughtering, he just goes, "Why are you so popular?"
Right, yeah.
Whatever happened to Giraldo? I haven't seen him around.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Hope he's doing all right.
Do a little blue apron spot.
Yeah, no, I try to, like, I do, you know, Corey's got a sound.
What, Corey, what are you
sound
doing?
Thing.
He's got a little...
What, the soundboard?
A fart machine?
He's got more than just farts. He's got...
What else he got, buddy?
He got other stuff on there.
Flex the muscle.
Yeah. What? Are you going to hit him with something else, Corey?
Welcome, everybody. It's the dollop.
You like that?
I don't love it.
Wow, I am on a fucking delay.
That's all right.
But now those British kind with the you know, being openly intelligent, stuff like using big words and shit, like I kind of do that sometimes, but it like works because people are like, "Well, that's weird." Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
He's not supposed to. Like I was at the Improv the other night doing this like riffing set where you just made, and I was talking about some strip club, and I said the name of it. I was like, "That shit was a misnomer, boy," and everybody just like cracked up. I mean, it wasn't like a joke or even that funny. And I was like, "Y'all didn't know I knew words like misnomer, did you?" But like that type of thing where it's like he said a smart word in a dumb way.
Yeah.
Like,
he thinks he missed a nomer.
Yeah, right. Like that's kind of my whole thing, honestly. However, these people before it told me they liked doing videos and shit with me because I was pretension proof, which was their way of being like, it'll. No matter like what kind of condescending shit we give you to say, you sound so fucking dumb, no one's gonna feel like you're talking down to them for it. So it's like a cheat code.
And
I'm like,
likable.
That's
it
the
is
thing.
Like that is like one of the main like it is weird because in a way you guys have carved out like a version of blue collar,
right.
But it's like with better politics.
Much less successful.
Yeah.
Wildly
yeah,
less successful.
There you go.
Same thing.
Regular,
same
thing. Yeah.
Reason
no
for both
collar.
Of those. Yeah, right. Yeah. All right, listen, I think we've taken up enough of your guys' time. This was so much fun. Thanks for being... I know. Dying
no,
for
thank you. No, it's a pleasure. And Corey, you're not going to be on the Pastimes again, but we would love to have
you
on.
For,
please have me on.
Yeah. We don't
I'm
want
dying
Corey
to do it.
I assume this was coming. Yeah, I'm sorry for the delay. I'm really bummed out. I love you both. I'm sorry for
it
making fun
bad.
Of you earlier, Gareth.
Oh, no, that was a problem, but the delay wasn't.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The delay was fine.
The delay was fine. The
You're
earlier
actually,
stuff was hugely
You actually should consider this. I think it helps your comedy.
Yeah, the delay's nice.
Off timing.
My timing is so bad that I have to put myself on a 7-second delay to make it decent.
No, it's like we're doing like the CNN thing where you're just like, in the hills of Tora Bora, Corey Forrester. And you're like,
hey, guys.
Thank you, Gareth. Right. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Corey, thanks for kind of being here. Thank you guys for.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And Airheads. Dave and Gareth, everybody of the dial-up, thanks for listening. Stick around, Airheads, though. We're about to do Clearing the Airs right now.
It's a lie.
All right.
Cue dramatic music.
It's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's the most revolutionary ball trimmer the world has ever seen. Gentlemen, our friends over at Manscaped have been working night and day to bring you a below-the-waist grooming experience like none other with their brand new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. I don't know what this voice is, but we're talking about a next-generation trimmer with interchangeable blade heads for whatever shave your mind can imagine. AI is cool, but I think this might be the biggest technological advancement the world has ever seen. Upgrade your grooming game to the Ultra Sphere. That's right, we're making up words, baby. This year, by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code POA. High tech for low places. Manscaped, I love the brand new Lawnmower 5.0. Y'all know I've been all about the all the things at Manscaped. I love that, like, I don't have to keep up with all these little guards. They just got a little clicky thing. Also, the ball deodorant. You know, it's getting a little colder out there, but I'm still sweating below, so that keeps me all, you know, on a fresh keel. Tell them more about it, Trey.
Every man knows how scary it can get when going for a close shave below the belt. That's why we trust Manscaped for all of our most sensitive areas. Inside this package, you'll find the star of the show, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth-generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. We also have dual LED spotlights to provide contrast on multiple skin tones, three length setting combs, and oh, did we mention the trimmer is waterproof too? Because it is. No more wet shaving down there. Count us in. This bad boy also features dual LED spotlights to provide the contrast on those multiple skin tones so you can shed some light on your darkest places. Three length setting combs for all your desired lengths, and it's waterproof. I know I'm repeating myself, but this stuff is noteworthy. Y'all need to be paying attention, all right? If you're taking it on the go, Manscaped has you covered. This puppy comes with a travel case and even a travel lock feature so it don't accidentally turn on and make people think you got a vibrator in your back at the airport or nothing. You're like, that's not a vibrator. It's just my ball shaver. This right here is on the cutting edge of cutting pubes, y'all. Upgrade your ball trimmer and your life will follow. So to get 20% off with free shipping, use the code POA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping when you use the code POA at manscaped.com. We can promise you, you've never seen a ball trimmer look like a spaceship before. Get yours today from our folks at Manscaped.
My balls smell real good.
Hits.
Does hit.
Here's Lydia Loveless.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cut, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on.
NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.
All right. Well, that was fun. Fun for me anyway. I got to be in studio with the dollop fellers. You were 2,500 miles away and on a tape delay at that, but we made it work.
That's true. I was just happy that we got to all be together. It was it's the mashup that everyone's been waiting for. I mean, we don't deserve to be in their company when it comes to, like, you know,
podcasting?
Being like, yeah, at all.
Absolutely. No, not even in the same league. So, we appreciate them deigning to spend some time with us. Very lovely and funny gentlemen that they are. I said that we were going to do clearing the airs. We haven't really been clearing the air much lately because the format of the show changed. This has been the air mail portion, but I did not misspeak. This week, we are clearing the airs. I meant to say that because Corey's got some air to clear, some crow to eat, I believe.
That's true.
Corey, you want to go ahead?
I've called this press conference today. I would like to, on behalf of myself and everyone at Putting On Airs, while it was me for the record, but, you know, I know that when I'm speaking, I represent my company, you know, everyone in the Airstream, BPP, Trey, our entire network here. I would like to offer a formal apology
to the ghost of Helen Keller. I apologize for sure. Okay. I shouldn't have said, and I think I quote, I'm pretty sure she was down with all that Hitler stuff. I don't know if that's what I should have said. Right.
Right.
Turns out, because I there was, and by the way, this was brought to my attention by Aunt Tiff, who is one of the moderators over on our Reddit. Apparently, I was getting roasted on Reddit because of the things that I'd said about Helen Keller. Now, I would like to say this. While I am sorry, and I misspoke, and obviously we have journalistic integrity here, I would like to point out that she absolutely was into eugenics and shit, and half of what I said was right. So I don't really know why everyone's going to fucking bat for her that much. But it's there's a difference in what she believed, which was that let's see, babies with Down syndrome and stuff should be slaughtered after their birth. That is different than being down with all the Hitler stuff. Two wrongs don't make a right, but you know what I'm saying.
And I would just like to say, as I recall, because I didn't obviously read these complaints. You just told me the complaints were happening.
I didn't read them either. And I just said, you said
we were getting roasted for all the Helen Keller stuff. And I was like, well, now I didn't, because I didn't know any of that. And so when you said that, I was like, oh, really? Okay. So how could that possibly be my fault? And on top of that, also, I remember saying, I've said, wait a minute, hold on now. Like, and this makes it doubly funny because, like, I gave you an out sort of by asking, because I was like, hold on, are you saying she just believed that people who were, you know, kind of in the same category as her, like people that were born with like developmental problems or like major issues like she had, that they should not exist? Because obviously I don't believe that, but I can't get mad at her for having that opinion. Like, how could any of us look at her and be like, you're not allowed to feel that way? Like,
right.
If anyone is allowed to feel that way, she's allowed to feel that way.
Of course.
Right? But if you mean it, and you were like, no, it was all that Hitler stuff after her, all of it. And I was like, okay, well, now that ain't cool, right? So that's sort of how it played out, which is why people got mad at you.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I said they were roasting us, and obviously it was just me, but like, that's the thing with a partnership, Trey, is that we share our successes, and so we also must share in our lambastings. When someone lambasts you, it's you're being lambasted, I guess.
You are being lambasted, yes.
Yeah, so anyways, no, obviously, I'm just bullshitting. I'm very sorry for saying all that shit about Helen Keller. I misheard something, and I spoke, I pulled something out of my butt, and I shouldn't have, and I apologize to anyone that I offended. Whatever. All right.
Well, so, I think you did a great job, so let's do some air mail now.
Thank you. All right. Subject line, King Henry VIII, Fool, William Somer. Hey, guys, I love the show and came across an idea for a possible deep dive on Will Somer. He was the longest-serving fool to the royals. Did you know that there were formal and informal fools, and not all fools wore that jester getup we see in movies? Anyways, thought it might be a fun topic for the history with Professor Cho. All the best. I didn't know that about him, but I
make a note of it. You fucking love jesters.
I've been wanting to do a whole episode on him, and I guess we're going to start.
This dude is Michael Jordan of jesters, evidently. So start there.
That's right. All right. Subject line: Korea or Vietnam Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
All right.
Corey, please don't read my full name. Okay. Hey guys, I've written to you guys a few times, never gotten put on, but I wanted to pop in again. Y'all had me screaming at the radio in the car while you were talking about the Korean War. Don't worry.
This might have been me. I believe I took the lead on this one. So
you did, because I don't know shit about the Korean.
And I don't either. And I said I was pulling it out of my ass. But anyway, go ahead.
Don't worry. I calmed down once y'all started actually looking stuff up. I studied history in school, specifically civil conflicts. And while I didn't study the Korean War at length, I did live in Korea for 2 years. What you read about Korea being a proxy war between communists and anti-communists is pretty spot on, and the war is still technically active today. Ask any K-pop fan about the South Korean military, and they'll have way more info than you expect, because all men, the pretty ones included, in South Korea have to serve in the army. I lived with one in New York, have to serve in the army for 2 years before they turn 30, just in case war breaks out again. In North Korea, they have the same conscription idea, but the term is far longer. Yeah, no shit. If you want a semi-decent picture of what life in North Korea is like now, there is a Korean drama on Netflix called Crash Landing on You that is partly set in the North, and most of the supporting characters are North Koreans. The production used actual North Korean refugees as consultants, and it's Netflix, so there's dubs if that's more your thing. this is funny. Anyway, every time I write to you guys, Corey complains that it's too long, so I'll stop there. Love yins like chicken. All right. It didn't seem like you did that bad of a job.
I was about to say, I remember it in my head is I remember being like, I'm pulling this out of my ass, but I feel like it was another one of them communism things. Like we backed the not communist and they were the other communist, whatever. And like that. And then I looked it up and it was like, yeah, I remember looking it up and being like, yeah, I got that pretty well correct. Yeah. And when I looked it up, I read what they just said, proxy war thing. And they said that part was right, but my part was wrong. So I'm a little confused because I remember being validated by that part. So,
I was about to say, here's the deal, though. The crux of everything you said was based in North Korea don't hit. So, even if you said some wrong things, it's like, we're all on your team.
I think I even said that I thought that the war was still technically ongoing even today. Yeah, right.
You did, because when
I really don't think I was that far off.
No, when
dear,
I read
dear
that,
listener, but
it's funny because when I read that in the email, I was like, I've heard that before. Oh, Trey said it. Trey's one that said it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, matter of fact, I don't know. Maybe she didn't live in fucking Korea long enough. You know what I mean? Because it sounds like you know what you're talking about. All right. One more, because this is a lengthy one as well, but I had to read it because the subject line is cousin fucking. All right.
We just talked about cousin fucking with the dollop guys a little bit.
We sure did. Hey guys, this is kind of outdated because I'm currently catching up on all the older episodes that I missed when I had a shorter commute to work. This is in the same vein as the cousin fucking, but just goes to show how the Venn diagram between white trash and high class, in this case, Hamlet, are related. I'm from small town Alabama, and a girl I graduated high school with has some true Hamlet shit going on. So we graduated high school. She married some old dude, cheats on him a bunch with a feller we'll call Judd. Well, she ends up pregnant, as you do, and eventually has a child. She is still married to original old buddy and continues to cheat on him with Judd. A few years go by, the affair is discovered, and the husband finds out the kid is Judd's and not his own, and hops on out. And nopes on out. Like, nope, I'm out. All right. Luckily for him, that's the end of his piece in this story. So, old girl and Judd end up getting married. They christen the honeymoon by going to Panama City Beach, as you do. Mm-hmm. While there, he whips the hell out of her, ends up hiding in a high-rise that's under construction while the police look for him throughout the night. The next day, he apologizes, and they decide to go ahead and head back home. They end up having another kid, and I reckon the whippings continue. Years go by, and they end up getting a divorce, and she hooks up with Judd's brother, Jeff. Well, she ends up pregnant, and Jeff, not wanting to sully her reputation, decides they should get married. So Jeff and Judd go on a trip, and Jeff tells Judd of his plan to marry his ex-sister-in-law. So Judd does what any reasonable redneck does and steps out of a moving car going 80 miles an hour and immediately dies.
That's not what I thought. Judd was going to kill Jeff is what I thought. I thought Judd was going to immediately stab Jeff to death or something. I didn't expect him to just kill himself.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
The wedding continues, and they have the baby. Now, the two older brothers have a dad that's actually their uncle and a baby brother that's actually their cousin. There's your redneck Hamlet
Roll tide,
story.
Baby. Roll tide. Roll tide.
All of this is absolutely true, with the name slightly changed and redacted. Also, if you couldn't tell, all these motherfuckers was on pills and meth. Hopefully y'all can trim the fat on this enough to make it onto the podcast, because I know it's long as fuck. Love everything y'all do, and thanks for making my drives to and from work worth a damn. This is Andrew, by the way. Andrew, I ain't cutting none of that fat out. You murdered from top to bottom.
That was riveting the whole time. A tale as old as time, let me tell you.
It was. Hey, remember, you can email us at puttingonairs@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening to the show. If you're only listening to it and hadn't checked it out on the YouTube, I suggest you do. It's watchpoa.com. Also, Trey, where the fuck are you going to be this weekend and weekends coming up stand-up-wise?
Sunday, I'll be in Phoenix. Then next Sunday after that, I'll be in Chicago. Then I got San Francisco coming up, Northwest Arkansas, and then closing out 2023, as we always do at Zany's in Nashville. I got 2024 dates coming very soon. Go to TreyCrowder.com. Check them all out. Also, check out our book, Round Here and Over Yonder, Comedic Travel Guide. It hits for people. It'll hit for you, too. Or you can get the audio book on Audible, which we do read and which does hit. Either way, I appreciate you.
It does hit. Yeah, we'll be at Zany's in Nashville December 14th through the 16th. Then on December 28th in Asheville, North Carolina, I will be there headlining, bringing along with me friends of the shows, Good Cop, Rad Cop. I'll be at the Gray Eagle. Yeah, grab our book and also go subscribe at bonuscorey.com. That is my Substack. For those of you who are already paid subscribers, you know that we just finished up the riveting series, Colonel Cornbread and the Case of the Confederate Ruby. But for those that are just free members, that actually drops today as you're listening to this on Friday. Bonuscorey.com. Love y'all. And again, as always, stay fancy.
Here's Lydia Lovelace.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cut, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs.
NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.